gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100 yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What up, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs. Ron, this is week number 11. This is episode 107. Big game coming up for Steelers this week.
Yeah, huge game. First divisional game, believe it or not. You know, we've looked good so far, and I'm happy to be 7-2, but honestly, this is where really I think the season starts, because it doesn't matter how well you do against non-conference games. It's all about what you do in division. So this is going to be a huge next like 6-7 weeks for sure for the Steelers.
I'm telling you, it's almost like they set the North up. They'll let Cincinnati get right, because I think that offensively they're right.
Yeah.
And then Cleveland, they're not right by any choice, but
no, but Winston can, you know, he has one of those games, he throws four touchdowns and he beats you. Yeah. You're like, what happened? And then he has other games, he throws four interceptions, and you know, then you're like, okay, we handled business. So you don't know what you're going to get with Cleveland so much, but Cincinnati, they're a dangerous team. We talked last week a little bit about them. They're I personally think they're still in it.
They are still in it, yeah. Because, and we'll talk about it when we do the recap, but everyone, there's two types of teams this year. The teams that are making the playoffs, and then there's terrible, terrible teams. I mean, there's a lot of 2-7.
Yeah.
There's a lot of 3-6 teams out there, 3-7 teams. Terrible, terrible. So we're going to talk about their NFL news. We're going to talk about week number 10 recap. We're going to have our predictions, our team's predictions, our upset specials, and then we're going to finish up with the power rankings. So right off the bat, I know this is kind of a couple of days old, but Dak is out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, except for Cowboy fans, did we really think that the Cowboys had a chance this year?
No, not the way that they were looking when they were playing. They, you know, you take the injuries, you know, aside on the defensive side. You know, even when they were healthy, they weren't playing well. They have no sort of running game. That's, I think, their biggest issue, that and the offensive line. I think they needed another, you know, receiver for Dak. They just, you know, you got to chop it up to just one of those seasons that, you know, you have, and you got to move on from it and just look to rebound next year.
Well, listen, the last three seasons, they've won over 10 games.
Yeah.
And then for some reason or one another, they decided to let Pollard walk. They brought back Elliott when he's not really the type of person that you can count on.
No,
right?
No.
Maybe he's like, I think the Patriots used him last year as just like the third down back and somebody coming out the back to catch the ball. But I think the Cowboys thought that he was going to do a lot more. And then they were like, I don't know if it was buyer's remorse, but then it was like, oh, wait, you're not the same Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah, that he wasn't enough. They waited too long. And by the time they needed, you know, they pulled the trigger, it was nothing left but Elliott and then Cook, who for whatever reason, Dalvin Cook, you know, hasn't been able to see the field too much. So listen, again, I think it's just one of those seasons you just chop up to like bad luck and you kind of
move on.
You got to move on because, you know, there's no chance of them making the playoffs. There are so many holes on that roster, injuries aside. And, you know, you don't have a playoff team. Even if everyone was healthy, it's not a playoff team. You just got to look to like fix things next season.
Next set of news is Chicago Bears fired the offensive coordinator. Will this make a difference? So why was the point? What was the point of letting him go?
I think it's the first step in like a major shakeup at the end of the year, right? So obviously there was high expectations for that team. Everyone picked them to win like 9-10 games.
No, I did not.
Well, most people did, right? What was the over-unders for that team for the year? I think a lot of people had.
I think it was eight or seven.
You know, for the most part, I think, and I'm pulling it up now, but most people had them, the Bears in the playoffs. 8.5 was their over-under. So, you know, a lot of people were saying they're a 9 or 10 win team and they're going to make the playoff. And if you look at the roster, if you just looked at the roster, you know, I would agree, right? They have a lot of talent on their team, but they, on the offensive side of the ball, haven't really been able to put things together. And as far as why Waldron was fired, it's just the first step, I think, into, you know, the ultimate step of like moving on from your head coach at the end of the season. So something miraculous needs to happen, you know, for Caleb Williams to, and, you know, the whole entire offense to turn things around for Eberflus to save his job.
I think the rumors were right about benching Williams. I mean, he came with a lot of hype and he didn't deliver. Whether it was the offensive coordinator's fault, whether it's Matt Eberflus's fault, I just feel like if you're going to make a move like this with the offensive coordinator, you got to make a move with the player.
Yeah.
Obviously he's not ready.
Do you believe the rumors that some players went and asked for Caleb to be benched?
Yes, 100%. Because if you look at this roster, there's a lot of veterans, whether it's receivers, whether it's, you know, in the defense. Why would you want to spend your time in a shitty team? And the main reason is you got an all-pro wide receiver in DJ Moore. You have Keenan Allen. Listen, with this move, this fire, I'm not surprised that that's happening.
Yeah, they've looked bad. There's no other way of saying it. The offense has been terrible the last 4 or 5 weeks, really the entire season. And Caleb Williams himself has regressed. I know it's weird to say that with them only playing, 9 games or whatever it is. But when you look at how he played the beginning of the season, he wasn't that great. But like to where he's at now, right now he looks lost. And he looks like he's trying to play hero ball. He's not going to the ease. Like there's guys crossing his face like wide open. He's not throwing the ball. You know, he's looking for a bigger play or he's just not seeing it. I don't know which one it is, but, you know, he needs to understand it's the NFL. It's not like college where you can just pass on open receivers and just say, no, I'm going to wait for something else to happen, like a bigger play. That's not how it works in the NFL. You got to take what the defense gives you.
I remember a time not too long ago where if you had a top pick draft, you don't use it. You don't spend it on a quarterback. But now all of a sudden, like, quarterback is a must. You got to have a good quarterback. It's like it's so much hype.
Yeah.
When we know that it takes a couple of years to develop a good quarterback.
So here, that's the thing, right? The quarterback position is an extremely important position. If you don't have one, you have no chance. But if you think about just the landscape of college football, I put, you know, in the chat today, right, in our little group text about the kid from Boston College, Castellanos, right? Was, you know, having a pretty decent season the last couple weeks has been a struggle. He has Bill O'Brien as his head coach, right? The guy is a good coach, right? And when things are going bad, you get benched and all of a sudden you're leaving your team. This would be his third team now that he's going into the transfer portal. That's what the landscape of college football looks like. So imagine being a quarterback like the FSU quarterback who was a lot of hype around him. That team was ranked top 10 beginning of the year. This is fourth team, I think it was. That's the type of quarterback you're getting going into the draft now. Guys that have bounced around from team to team, coordinator to coordinator, that have not really developed and learned how to be a professional player because they're, you know, I don't know what they're chasing, but they're not getting the coaching. They're not mentally tough. And, you know, Caleb, you know, he transferred a couple times to himself. But with him, you know, I just think that he looks really lost out there and Chicago did not have the coaching staff or the right people in place to develop him. And I think you're right. As far as his development goes, they should have seen something either in practice or what the first part of the, you know, off season and said, you're not ready. You know, sit. Let me sit you for like a few games or what. You know, kind of like what the Patriots did with Mac Jones. Although I think not Mac Jones,
Drake May.
But I think Drake May was the alternative with them was, you know, I would have went with Drake May in that situation. But, you know, I think just for Chicago, it's obvious now that Caleb, I'm not saying he's not the answer. I'm just saying he needs some time to grow. And if I'm Chicago, I don't care what the owner's saying. I'm sitting him because the locker room wants him to sit. At least that's what it feels like.
I mean, the players are coming out. If the rumors are right, then the players are coming out. Try to salvage the season. And the season can be salvaged because, again, the teams are like really, really good or really, really bad.
And forget about salvaging the season. Try to like, you have to have like, your players have to respect you. If you're the head coach and you're playing someone who's less talented, players are going to see that and be like, why are you playing this guy when there's somebody next to him that's
better? See, I don't think that is a talent issue. I think it's just that, you know, developmental issue, because you need to read defenses. You need to like know when to go deep, when to go short, when to look at your progressions. All that stuff doesn't come with just like live in-game reps. It comes from like having a quarterback's coach. It comes from like 7-on-7 drills, 11-on-11 drills. Like that takes, you need to develop that first before you just go out there.
But some people have it and some people don't. And you got to be right in the decision you make, right? So Stroud had it, right? He had it right away. Daniels this year has it right away. Drake May probably, to a certain extent, had it. If not right away, at least like, you know, halfway through the season, you can say he's, you know, he's got it. But some players, it just takes longer. And you know, it might be better for them to sit.
And that's why you need to have good coaches and to be like, oh, you know what? This quarterback is ready. Let's start him. But the preseason is not enough for you to make an assumption and be like, okay, let's put him out there day one. He's going to be a day one starter.
No.
Because then it comes with a lot of like expectations, right?
Yeah.
So
the expectations were high. There's way too much, to your point, hype around Caleb Williams. The team is good. They got good squad. So it's like, okay, you plug this piece in. He can take you there. Well, guess what? He's not that mentally ready to get you there. He physically, yes, you know, he can make all the throws, you know, he can run around a little bit, but mentally, no, he's not there.
And then I think I saw a list where it has Derrick Henry 11th as far as running back getting paid. You know who's in front of him? Swift.
Yeah.
So he just and they just got Swift this year, right? So you could have gotten Derrick Henry for less money, and look what's happening.
Yeah, but I think, I mean, I'm not saying whether or not it was the right decision to sign Swift, and if that's a better decision than Henry, if that would have made a difference, but they need a quarterback. And right now, like I said, if I'm the head coach, if I want to show the locker room that I still have the locker room, then the only decision to make is to move on and just sit him for, you know, a little bit.
Yeah, put Tyson in. So talking about quarterbacks, Richardson's back with the Colts. Why are they going back and flipping back and forth? Flacco, Richardson, Flacco. What's going on?
Well, it's the same situation, kind of like right with Chicago, where Richardson wasn't playing well. He was playing just as bad as Caleb is, maybe even a little bit worse. And they sat him, which was the right thing to do. Having said that, they put Flacco in, not much of improvement. And you got this guy that's sitting there. It's the second year now. You're going to have to see him, right? You're going to have to see him, whether it be this year or, you know, next year, and make a decision on, is this guy the future? So, you know, should they have put him back this quickly? I would not have. But at some point, I think in this season, I was expecting him to come back and play.
Yeah. So let's talk about week number 10, Ron. And I just want to say, Ron, it's 93-93 our score. We were only separated by one game, and that was the Atlanta-New Orleans game. Now, I was watching that game, and I was just thinking, like, what is Atlanta doing? Seriously, they got stuffed, like, three times in the goal line.
Yeah, I didn't watch that game at all. But, you know, I'll be honest with you. I don't think it should really come to a surprise. Divisional games are, I don't care what the records are, divisional games are tough. And I think Atlanta, maybe they went in there a little too confident, didn't take New Orleans serious enough, and they laid an egg. But I shouldn't be too surprised. I mean, I had Atlanta winning, you chose New Orleans, and you were right, you know, with that one. But I think just, you know, when we look at divisional games, it's so, they're so hard to predict, like teams that are like, can be so much better than the other, all, you know, all of a sudden end up like losing or playing down to, you know, the competition.
Yeah. I was looking at it and I was just like, it's not really that hard. It just hounded off and it was, yeah, we're getting stuffed and stuff. And I was just like, what? I don't know what's going on. So Ron, let's talk about the upset special. You had New England winning over Chicago. I had Atlanta winning over, I'm sorry, New Orleans winning over Atlanta. We just talked about that. So let me ask you, why did you pick New England to win this game?
Listen, I'll admit, I didn't watch much of this. I was too busy glued to the Steelers game. But I figured that kind of what we talked about with Chicago, just a lot of dysfunction, if you will. Caleb not playing well. Patriots defense, especially the secondary, playing pretty good. I thought all the pieces were there for the Patriots to win this game. You got a team that's reeling in the Chicago Bears. Now that you see that they fire their coordinator and everything, I just thought the setting was appropriate that for them to, you know, to win that game.
Yeah, I picked against New England because I want to see them. I want to see more of Drake May. I want to see more of this defense, and I guess, you know, like I said, calling them soft is working.
It is.
Because the defense showed up.
Nine sacks,
which, by the way, I know that we had the Steelers having the most sacks at the end of the year. I looked it up. They're 25th.
Yeah, who is it first right now? I think it's like the
I want to say it's weird, like, team. It's like an NFC team.
I think it's the Giants, believe it or not.
I don't know, but I was just like, but then I saw New England moved up on the list just by having 9 sacks.
Oh, of course.
So yeah. you don't know what's happening, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about Pittsburgh against Commanders. You watched this game through and through. Anything that stood out to you?
It was a great game. Listen, I expected a really good game, and it was an entertaining game from beginning to end. Kind of went the way I think at least I had expected. My prediction was, what, 27 to 24, it looks like. What was the final score for this game?
I think
28-27,
right?
So I was pretty close to the score. Listen, both quarterbacks didn't play too great. As far as their throwing percentages, it was pretty low. But the Steelers, they were able, you know, they kept running the ball. They didn't abandon it, even though they weren't having a lot of success with it. The defense made some critical stops at the end. But the game honestly could have went both ways. I thought the first half, the Steelers were dominating, but they were losing because of stupid, like, penalties. Just dumb reasons. We had the fake punt that was a huge play. Could have easily, you know, turned the momentum of that game, and where Pittsburgh would have taken over. And, you know, but what's his name drops the ball or whatever. So they got the ball in, you know, in great field position. So there was a lot of that in the first half. But I felt comfortable and confident the way the Steelers were playing that we'd have a chance, even though we went down 2 scores. I thought we were still in the game. It was a good game.
It was a good game.
Good litmus test.
And I liked what happened again. Second half team. Steelers, they just didn't. They're not a disappointing team when it comes to the second half, because, you know, whatever Tomlin says at halftime, it just works. It just works. I don't know why it is. Maybe one day we'll see it on YouTube. Someone will post it, but whatever he says works. Jaden Daniels, no TDs whatsoever. 200 yards. Rushing for the Washington, 60 yards. This, wow.
Yeah, and we held Daniels in check, too. We didn't let him break out of the pocket. It was a couple times he almost got away. But we made a great tackle to stop him to like a 1 yard or 2 yard gain.
And then I saw a stat that was kind of concerning about the Commanders, how they're 0-7 against teams that are less than 500 record. And then they're 0-3 with teams with 500 or more, a better record. So it's almost like, are they really a good team, or is this just like playing bad teams? You know, kind of like the whole Chicago Bears thing, where like, yes, their record was 4 wins, but it was against really bad team.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, you could probably have said the same thing. I think both these teams, you could have said the same thing about, right? Are they really this good? Or are, you know, were they fortunate to have played some bad teams, right? So looking back, you know, at some of the teams Pittsburgh won to begin the year. Again, it was Falcons, this guy's first game. You know, the Broncos, rookie quarterback. You know, Chargers, they won at home. Then they had losses to the Colts and the Cowboys. And then they beat the Raiders, the Jets, who are a mess, the Giants. Right. So this one, I think Commanders are a real deal, you know, and I think it's a good win for the Steelers. I thought it was a good loss for the Commanders, too. You know, I don't think they have anything to be, you know, angry about or overly disappointed about. I think they're a good team, and I could see them winning this week.
No, I mean, listen, to be in second place after you were basically for the NFC East for a while, it was all yours. There's nothing to be, you know, shameful about. They're a good team. The Eagles have a better roster. The jury's out on the coach, but you know, I think Commanders are a legit team. I know they're just beating up on teams, but they're a legit team. Anything about that Drake May that you want to say? Because I have a few words about Drake May.
Listen, there's so many statistics that you can go to say like what he's on pace for and the numbers he's putting up, both passing and running, and who they compare to. I'm not going to get into that. I think numbers are numbers. I was just looking at the eyeball test. The guy has got it. He's making players around him better, and that's all you need. And the thing is, he's just going to get better. It's just the tip of the iceberg. He's going to get better. They are going to put better weapons around him too. They are going to figure out how to protect him better, you know, with the offensive line. So, you know, if I was a Patriots fan, I'd be really happy with Drake May.
Oh yeah. The feedback that I'm getting now is that everyone is smitten over Drake May. And I'm saying, like, yes, it's been a while, right? We're talking about 5 years since a decent quarterback, since basically Tom Brady. But like you said, get him some weapons. People, they're not only playing better, they want to play for him. He's encouraging him. I think Monday he took out the offensive line. He's kind of what Baker Mayfield does when he wants to like get integrated into a new team. He's like, I want to be part of the team, guys.
Leadership.
So, yes, I think that there's a lot to be hopeful for with Drake May. Let's go into week 11, Ron. And let's go over our X predictions for week 11. Let's start with Thursday night, which is actually a pretty good game.
Huge game. Big.
We have the Washington Commanders at the Philadelphia Eagles. Eagles are favored at 3.5. 48.5 is the over and under. Ron, who'd you go with?
I'll be honest with you. I went back and forth, and I actually changed this like three times on this sheet. But I ended up landing on Philly. And, you know, I can see Commanders winning this game. But just if you just look at Hurts and how he's playing, how his receivers are playing, how Barkley is playing, you know, I think Philly should have the slight edge. And I think it, you know, the spread is where it should be, 3.5 for, you know, with Philly being favored. I'm going to say Philly pulls this off. Not that, you know, I think Commanders and Jaden Daniels, so he'll be fine. You know, I don't have any issues with how he's going to play. I just think just based on experience, Hurts in this, what was his third or fourth year now, that'll carry him, I think, to a win this week.
Yeah, I just changed it from Washington to Philadelphia because when we were talking about the Pittsburgh-Washington game, I thought, you know, Philadelphia has the roster on defense to actually keep Daniels in check, right? I want to see that happen. I think they have the personnel. I think I trust the defensive coordinator for Philly. So give me Philly. Give me Philly to win. This is, if they win this one, they're going to cement that first place. So give me Philly to win this one.
Yeah, still plenty of time, though.
I mean, you know, Dallas and Washington and New York Giants are terrible.
Yeah.
So I think they both can make the playoff.
They both will. And I think they're still, even with a loss, whichever team loses, I still think they will have a chance to win a division, because a loss just takes them to 2-1 in the division. So, you know.
But then the Eagles go to 3-0, and who's their competition after that?
Well, you still got to play Commanders one more time, right? I imagine they haven't played yet.
Yeah, but then the Eagles win this game, they're going to own the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
So even if the Commanders win the next game, it really doesn't matter. Well, we'll see. We'll see if the Giants. Oh, I can't even say it. The next game, Green Bay at Chicago Bears. Green Bay served by 6.5. I think it should be more. 41.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, it's in Chicago. I think Green Bay, were they in the bye week last week? I don't recall. Yeah,
they were in the bye week.
Which is good. They need, I think Love is not healthy. But they are by far the better team. Give me Green Bay to win. You mentioned the spread. Again, I would be careful because this is a divisional game and stuff happens, as you know. So I'm not saying Chicago's going to win. They are dysfunctional.
They're very dysfunctional.
But it can be a much closer game than both you and I expect it to be.
Yes, even with Love hurting, I still like Green Bay to go over that spread. I mean, the Bears can't score any points. If the Bears were like, oh, they're 21, they're averaging 21 points, yes. But they can't even, they're just terrible.
And Green Bay has a good defense, too.
So I'm looking at this, the teams, right? Because I don't think the Pats are bottom of the tier anymore. I'm thinking the Pats, obviously they're better than the Bears. But I'm just looking at the other teams. Would you take the Pats or would you take Jacksonville?
As far as what?
Just like right now, you would like up and coming teams or... I wouldn't touch this team. They don't have any. They don't have a QB. They don't have a good coach. I'm not touching that team.
I would. So if I'm looking at the future, I'm saying the Pats. If I'm looking at today's roster, I would say Jacksonville. But I also know with Jacksonville, the coach is probably gone. The quarterback might be gone. There's going to be a lot of changes, I think, at the end of the year with Jacksonville.
Have to hard talk me into Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Would you take the Pats or the Raiders?
I'd take the Pats.
So I'm just saying, like, I'm glad to see that the Patriots are not at the bottom of the tier.
Well, I mean, you do want a tank for Hunter. So,
well, would you take the Pats or the Giants?
I'll take the Pats.
See, I'm just very, very glad that we're not at the bottom.
That's, but you still want a tank for Travis
Hunter. I don't know about tanking. Do you really think that these players are going to tank? Do you think that all of a sudden they're going to be like, you know what? Drake May, just play horrible because we're going to get Travis Hunter for you. That doesn't work that way.
No.
It doesn't work that way.
But he might fake an injury. Say, hey, you know what? Your hamstrings will be tight right now. So
Devante Adams, like, oh, I can't do it. The next game, we're talking about Jacksonville. It is the Jaguars at Detroit. Detroit, 13 points. Wow.
Huge.
46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, this is, I don't like huge spreads like this, but I got Detroit winning this one pretty easily.
I mean, Detroit showed a lot of heart.
Yeah, 5 interceptions. You bounce back from that, yeah.
I mean, just throw anything at Detroit, they're going to beat it.
Yeah.
13 points is high, but we're talking about Mac Jones here.
He is playing again, isn't he?
He is playing again, yeah. The next game is...
You guys were like rooting against him. It's so terrible.
What were we supposed to do? The dude won it out.
Did he want out?
He won it out.
How's the narrative keep changing now?
Because there's no way that he just caught... Just Jacksonville was his only... No, that's where he's from. He's from Jacksonville.
It doesn't matter.
He wanted to live with his mom. Hey, more power to you.
You guys, all of a sudden, he's on a different team. And it's like, oh my God, the trap.
Because we know who this guy is.
They didn't want him, okay?
Well, we didn't want his interception, so. Raiders at Dolphins. Dolphins are favored at 7. And actually, no, I'm skipping a game. So let's talk Vikings at Titans. Vikings are favored by 6 points. 39.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I was always almost going to make this my upset special. That 6 points looks high to me. Darnold has not been playing well. But they do have Hockenson back, the tight end. So give me Minnesota to win this one. Although I think Tennessee will make it interesting.
I went back and forth on this one because... Like you mentioned, Sam Darnold is slowly turning into a pumpkin. Like, I feel like the first 6 games, he was awesome, and now he's just slowly turning like, oh, I'm not really that good. And we just found out that J.J. McCarthy had another surgery. So, but I still went with Minnesota. 6 points, it is kind of high, but they have a good defense. So, give me Minnesota. Next game, Raiders at Dolphins. Dolphins are favored. Why did I write Minnesota? But is it 7.5?
Let me just double check.
Yeah, let me double check. It should be. It seems high, but you never know with this team. Look it up.
Down to 7 now.
Okay. So 7. Miami's favored by 7. 39.5 is the 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I got Miami. Give me Miami to win. I just think they're a better team, to be honest with you.
Why is Pierce still has that job? Why does he still have a job?
He doesn't have a quarterback. That's why.
Even if he had a quarterback, he does dumb things. And I guess Minshew is like starting today, this week against Miami. I mean, give me Miami.
He's going to get a pass. They were in sell mode, right? They didn't have a quarterback. They're waiting and building for the future. I think he gets a pass.
So here. You think that he gets another year?
Yeah, I do.
I think that because it's the Raiders ownership, what is it, Mark Davis' son, no, Mark Davis is his son, and he doesn't know what he's doing. And now that thing with his girlfriend, he didn't know that he would get out of here. Get out of here. He's like, oh no, when I met her, she didn't know that I was a millionaire. Get! Are you that stupid? 26-year-old model, their daughter's son, like, she fell in love with this 70-year-old guy. Get out of here. Anyways, so we have Browns at the Saints. Saints are favored by 1 point. 45.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I'm going Cleveland here. I know New Orleans just pulled off an upset against the divisional opponent last week in Atlanta, but Cleveland to me is a better team. Jameis will have one of those games where he throws for like 4 touchdowns, and give me Cleveland to win this one.
You know, I forgot that this is the revenge game, right? Because he left the Saints to go to the Browns. I still like the New Orleans Saints to win this one. I think that last week they were pumped about the win. They were celebrating. I don't know how long that's going to last. But I picked New Orleans to win this one. And I think if they win this one, they might be back in the game.
No.
Because that division is so terrible. So terrible that I'm just looking at the standings for that division. So we got Atlanta first place, 6-4. We got Tampa 4-6. So if New Orleans wins, they can go to 4-7. They can go in second place. I'm telling you, that division is terrible. The next game, we have the Falcons at the Broncos. Speaking of that NFC South, Denver favored by 2 points, 43.5 is the over under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah. I know Atlanta wants to win this game. They need to rebound after what happened this past week, but you're going to Denver, right? So you're on the road traveling to Denver, not a great place to play. And Denver has a legit defense. I got Denver winning this one.
Yeah, give me Denver. I mean, to be honest, they should have won against Kansas City.
They should have, yeah.
They should have won. They kept it low. I think they had like time of possession. It was like the game plan that you need to beat Kansas City. And they lost. Bo Nix may not be there yet, but give me Denver. And if Atlanta goes to, you know, what's their record if they lose this one? I think that's
6-5.
Yeah, that division is up for grabs. So give me Denver to win this one. Next game, talking about Kansas City at Buffalo. This is Buffalo's favored by 2.5. 45.5 is on over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I heard some weird stat about how Buffalo owns Kansas City in the regular season. They beat them like almost all the time that they play against each other.
And this is in New York.
Yeah. Having said that, there's just something going on with Kansas City. They have played horrible, right? They may be the worst undefeated team I've seen in a long time. There's something magical, or I don't know what you want to call it. Maybe the refs are in on it too. Maybe I need to you know, buy into
believe
that.
In the hype.
Yeah. But I, until they lose, it's hard to bet against Kansas City. I just think Mahomes, Reed, they'll somehow find some BS way, some out of like the, you know, out of nowhere way to pull this game off and win it. So again, I'm going with my gut here, but Kansas City is what I have.
I went with Buffalo only because I like Josh Allen. I know he probably not going to win the MVP, but he's playing like an MVP. So I think Lamar is probably going to win the MVP, and Mahomes is probably second if Kansas City stays undefeated. But I like Josh Allen. I think their defense is still problematic for Buffalo, but Kansas City is not a juggernaut on offense right now. So I think this is a good, you know, this is going to be a good game, and this is going to be good for Buffalo. So give me Buffalo to win this one.
How the hell is this not a primetime game?
I don't know what happened to flexing games.
Like, I have no idea.
I feel like that has disappeared.
Instead, we got, look what we have. The freaking Colts at Jets. And then on Monday night, Texans at Cowboys.
that game should have been flexed at Colts Jets game. Bengals at Chargers. Chargers are favored by 1.5. 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Give me Cincinnati. I know Chargers are playing pretty well, but I don't, like we talked about, I'm not writing the Bengals off. I just think Burrow is having statistically his best year ever. And it had that team, if they were winning right now, he'd be in the MVP conversation. I really do think that. I got the Bengals winning this one. I think they'll muscle this one out.
Yeah, I went with the Bengals because Joe Burrows is having a hell of a year. Statistically, that is. And he even said it himself, right? He's like, I feel good, even though he's getting hit left and right. But let me just say this. If the Chargers win this game, then we have to like talk about Denver Chargers, KC all coming out of the West, and one team coming out of the South and one team coming out of the East, and maybe two teams from the North. I don't know. I just feel like this is a real division up there with the AFC North. This is a real division. The next game where we talked about the Colts at the Jets, this is a Sunday night game. 2.5 is the Jets favored because the Colts, they're going back to Richardson. 43.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, so I probably won't even be watching this game. Probably the first Sunday night game I'm missing because this is terrible. But I had the Colts winning until I heard Richardson is playing and I swapped it to the Jets. So I got the Jets winning this one.
I picked the Colts even after the Richardson news because if it's a close game, I can see convention. To be like, all right, just take a seat. We got this game. You did your part, whatever it was. You didn't make an interception. You didn't need a turnover. Just have a seat. Let Flacco finish this because I don't know. I feel like they have a decent team, the Colts, but they just don't have a quarterback. So,
well, what do the Jets have, to be honest with
you? Nothing. They have nothing because they don't have a good quarterback. They don't have good receivers. Maybe Wilson is good, but he has to get the ball to be good. And the Jets defense is terrible. Like, if I had to choose between the Colts and Jets defense, I'll go with the Colts defense because Jets defense is just, they're not even trying.
Yeah.
As soon as Salah left, they just gave up. Monday night football. The Texans at the Cowboys. This is the Texas party. Houston is favored by 8.5, 46.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, so my Sunday night and Monday night will be free because I will not be watching this game either. But give me Houston to win this one. They should win it pretty easily.
Yeah, I also went with Houston, even though it's probably going to be, I don't even know if it's going to be a clean game, but the Texans just have a better team. And the Cowboys, nobody respects them at home, so give me the road team to win this. Ron, let's talk about our teams now. Let's talk about New England. Los Angeles Rams at New England. It is, the Rams are favored by 5. 43.5 is the over and under, which I think they made the adjustment now that Drake May, like, oh, maybe we should have a higher spread. I mean, higher points over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
Yeah, you know, let the good times keep rolling. I'm going with New England to pull off an upset. This is going to be my upset special. I'm double dipping here. Give me New England to win 24-20. I just have a feeling, you know, it's going to be hard for the Rams traveling across, you know, all the way to the East Coast. Patriots defense
coming up a loss.
Yeah. Defense is playing pretty well. They need to slow down Kyren Williams. I think Gonzalez, whoever he plays, it doesn't matter who he lines up against, he seems to shut them down. So that takes Kupp or Puka out of the equation instantly. I don't see why the Patriots can't win this game. Give me the Patriots 24-20.
Yeah, I picked the Rams to win this one because I want to see consistency. And We picked them twice. They lost. You picked them for Chicago. They won. They need to win this one for me to feel confident. I'm not there yet. So I'm going to with the Rams to win this 24-21. But again, I like what I'm seeing from Drake May. I just don't like what I'm seeing from the rest of the team. Even though the young receivers actually played well. Butte played well. Polk played well. Baker is still missing. We don't know why he is.
I give up on him at this point.
The tight ends played well, even though I think Hunter Henry had one catch. But he still played well, so I want some more of that. Give me some more of that. Baltimore at Pittsburgh. Baltimore's favorite at 3.5. 48.5 is the over and under. Ron, what's your prediction?
I am not confident at all that Steelers will win this game, although I have them winning 30-28 here. Steelers have played really well against the Ravens, especially when, you know, Lamar plays. We have his number for whatever reason. He doesn't play well against Pittsburgh. Having said that, this is a completely different Ravens team, I think. It's different when you got Derrick Henry in the backfield compared to whoever else they had in the past. He's going to make a huge difference to how we play defense. I don't think we'll be able to slow them down too much. I think they'll score on us. And really, the question is going to be, can we keep up with them? And I think Pittsburgh has enough offensively to score points. So I got us winning 30-28. But, you know, I think just like the Commanders game, it can go either way. I do think the Ravens offensively is the better team. But I think the Steelers defensively is the better unit. So,
yeah, you have them scoring 58 points. So you have them going over the point spread. I have them, Pittsburgh, winning 28-24, 52? Yeah, I also have them going over. I just think that Pittsburgh defense is so much good, so much better. I think it's the same thing applies to almost every game. Pittsburgh is going to be down at halftime. They're going to make the adjustment. Tomlin's going to talk to them and say, hey, what are we doing, guys? And they're going to come out and just dominate the second half. The fact that Wilson, for some reason, got his mojo back. We're talking about almost like 3 years after the fact, right? Was the endeavor 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
So, hey, more power to him. I think that he's still third, right, in that division as far as quarterbacks. Would you take Lamar over Wilson? We'll take Burrows over Wilson? Yeah. But I feel like that's not really affecting him. Like, he's really saying, like, this is my limitation, but I know what I can do. So give me Pittsburgh to win this game. I just feel like their defense is going to stand up. And I don't know. Is Derrick Henry, will he have over 100 yards in this game?
Oh, man. I don't really know how the Steelers are planning on defending this, because if they stop Henry, then Lamar may go off like running the ball. I don't think you can attack them both and stop them both from running. So I can see Henry, you know, getting his, especially in the middle of the field, and then, you know, them putting the clamps down when they get in the red zone. I think the Ravens have a lot of options in their running game now with both Lamar and Henry. And now with them getting Deontay, even though he hasn't really played yet in the passing game, they have some more options there too. So, and then Andrews is back too as a, you know, tight end. I'm going to say Henry goes over 100 yards against the Steelers. We've given up 100 yards already to a few players. I think he'll go over 100.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned about, you know, Lamar getting his yards and Derrick Henry getting yards. Just the home run balls, that's what I'm concerned about. Like, Pittsburgh does not give home run balls that often. I know that against the Commanders, there was only two plays where it was 20 or more yards for the Commanders, but they didn't score. So.
Yeah, but I mean, Daniels missed a couple. There were some guys that were breaking open, and Daniels just missed the throw. I was going to say, both quarterbacks didn't play that good in that game. So if Lamar makes those throws to Flowers or to Deontay or who the other receiver is for the Ravens, you know, that could be a huge difference. So I think in order for the Steelers to win, they got to focus on slowing Lamar down, both passing and throwing. Let Henry get his and just slow Lamar down.
Do you need to put a spy on Lamar or not?
The Steelers will not put a spy. That's not how they play. I think so. If you take anything from how they played Jaden Daniels, and these, you know, the quarterbacks are similar. They didn't spy him, but they rushed five. I think it was the first time all season that they rushed five, like consistently. I think they'll do the same with Lamar. Just make him get the ball out of his hands quickly by either handing it off or making a quick throw. So you kind of take Lamar out of like the equation. I think that's what they'll do again this week.
Well, my upset special, Ron, it's Seattle at San Francisco, and I have Seattle winning 28-24. They're coming off a bye. They have 2 weeks to prepare for this game. We know that San Francisco is not the same. Even with CMC back, they're still not 100%. Like, they're not blowing teams out. Their defense is still pretty good. I just feel like if Seattle can't do it, forget it. They're not going to win the division.
That's the thing. This division is wide open. So Arizona has a bye week this week. They're 6-4, right? So San Fran, they're 5-4. If they win, they're 6-4. If they lose, they're 5-5. The Rams are 4-5. I just predicted them to lose is my upset special. That moves them to 4-6. But 5-5 is the best that they can be. And in Seattle, you think they really need this game. But again, they're not far out. They're really only two games out of first place right now. So still plenty of time, I think, you know, on the season. I think it'll be a good game. I got San Francisco beating them. But I think it's going to be a really good game.
Yeah, I think so too. Ron, who's in your power ranking?
Yeah, so power ranking, not much have changed. Maybe the order a little bit. Moving into my top 10 is San Francisco. I pulled Atlanta out. But number one is Detroit. Number two, Baltimore. Number three, Kansas City. I think that was, this for the most part, the same. I think I had Kansas City number two last week. And I moved Baltimore up. So I'm penalizing Kansas City a little bit just because of the way that game ended. It should have been a loss, but I moved them only down one spot. Got Buffalo at number four, Pittsburgh at five, Green Bay at six, Philly at seven, the Commanders at eight, Minnesota at nine, and then, as I mentioned, San Fran at 10.
Yeah, I didn't, same here. I still have Kansas City at number one. I've had them number one all year long because they're still undefeated. I know how they do it. For a time there, I was going to put Detroit number one, but those five interceptions. I mean, will this hurt Goff? If they make it all the way to the Super Bowl, are you still confident that Detroit has a chance?
Oh, absolutely. I think this five interception game makes me more of a fan and more confident in what he can do just to overcome that than anything else. It's, you know, he's mentally tough. He's not going to, you know, bow out and cave just to, you know, making a couple bad plays. He's going to keep them in it. So
number three, I have Buffalo because, I mean, they have a 5-game lead on the East, on the division. So Baltimore, I have Pittsburgh. They just beat the Commanders. So Washington's out.
You got them completely out.
Yeah, they're out. I got Green Bay in. I got the Chargers in. I got Arizona, Minnesota, and Green Bay. So I have three NFC North teams on my list. Probably Green Bay slipped in because they didn't play because they had a bye week. But, you know, that 10th spot could have gone either to Minnesota or Green Bay. Yeah, I don't have a problem.
I mean, Commanders still 7-3, right?
7-2.
And they still lost. The loss was to a top 10 team. I'm surprised you dropped them all the way out of your top 10.
Yeah. No, you're right. They're 7-3 now. I just feel like when I saw that stat that they haven't beaten anybody, I'm like, you got to beat somebody. You got to be somebody that has a better record than you or the same record as you. You can't be on my top 10 ranking and not be a legitimate team. That was my gripe with Chicago. Until they beat somebody, they couldn't be on the list. So I feel the same way with Washington.
If you lined up Washington against Arizona that you have ranked 8th, who wins?
Arizona.
You think so?
Yep. I think they have a better defense. Arizona has a better defense. And Kyler Murray, I think I saw that maybe we should talk about him being an MVP. I don't think so. Because we haven't seen him play whole 18 games.
And I mean, listen, they're 6-4 right now. Talk to me, you know, when he's like 5 or 6 games over 500, you know, to be in the MVP conversation.
Or just, does he have even a victory, like a playoff victory, a playoff win? Has he even been on the playoffs? I can't remember. I just can't remember. And I'm like, you know, Kyler Murray is a good quarterback, but like, I don't think he's outstanding. Like, he doesn't make me want to go and buy a jersey. I know I'm not a fan, but come on.
Well, I think he's a good quarterback.
Yeah.
But he's limited. Very limited.
And
because of his height. But he can throw the ball. The dude, I mean.
He can throw. He can run.
Yeah.
You know, he has a lot of skill and a lot of talent. But I don't know if he's like, you know, like a Josh Allen, 6'4". 220 pounds.
No, completely different player.
Be a different player. Ron, what do you have to say to the Steelers fans this week?
Listen,
this
important big, week. Big, big, big week. It's Ravens week. I'm going to be sitting in front of the TV just anxious. You know, whether we win or loss, I think we have a good team. I do think, though, if they win, then they are truly like Super Bowl contenders, not just playoff contenders. If they can beat the Ravens, I think they have a legit chance to make it to the Super Bowl, you know, to be honest with you. So it's a big game. I think it's another litmus test to me. And, you know, I want to see them go out and win, you know, and I think they can. I think history has shown that they have an edge against Baltimore. They've figured out how to slow them down, at least. Again, it's a different animal with Derrick Henry, but, you know, I expect a really, really good game. So it's going to be, again, this should be a primetime game. I don't know why it's not, but I'll take the 1 o'clock.
Which is strange because we got a Colts versus New York Jets primetime Sunday night game. So go figure. Just what I mentioned earlier. I want to see more Drake May. I want to see more of the young receivers, even Baker. Even if he's just playing like 1 or 2 snaps. Just show me more. Show me that he can consistently, you know, win games. Like they're buying into the Jerod Mayo, you know. And let's be honest. Jerod Mayo and Bill Belichick, they're like one and the same, because I saw something like six of Bill Belichick's staff are still on the team. Heck, his son is still on the team. So you're not shedding Bill Belichick's, like, you know, you just can't shed it without just completely clean house. So this whole thing of like, well, you know, we're not getting along, blah, blah, blah. Just squash it. Just have a, you know, just like, you know, what they did for Tom Brady with the whole ceremony. Do the same thing with Bill Belichick. Just squash it already.
Where are you with Mayo so far, though? I know at one point you were kind of like done with him.
I wasn't done with him per se. You know, I just say I'd rather they Brabel with the coach. But now I feel like if this defense shows up and they start winning because of their defense, it's going to make me feel so much better. Because I feel like now you need to work on the offense. You already got the defense. You already know the players, who you want to keep, where you want to, you know, get better at. Like you mentioned, Gonzalez, lock him up. Lock him up while you can. Don't even wait for the five-year contract to expire. Just lock him up.
It's funny that teams are calling the Patriots to see if they had any interest in trading Gonzalez. And they're like, are you kidding me? Like, why would we trade?
I would just hang up.
Why would we trade our best defensive player who's only, like, what, 22 or whatever? That makes no sense. But
and now Christian Barmore is maybe back at practice now. So things are looking better. My five-game prediction, it's still alive. Still alive.
Yeah. Listen, I think May is a good quarterback. I think Mayo is an okay coach. He's learning too, right? So, yes, you have to give him the benefit of doubt from time to time. I think that the team is heading in the right direction. You want the guys to show up. I do think calling them soft, you know, lit a match under their rear ends, which was the intention. That's what they needed. And all of a sudden now their defense is playing better. So that's good coaching to me.
That's knowing your team, knowing what you can say or not say. Apparently he's called them soft before, you know, he went to speak with reporters. So it wasn't like they were hearing it through a third party. They were just like, yeah, he called us off before he went out and told you guys. So, you know, that's, to me, that shows a little bit of dignity.
And he's a former player. If a former player is calling you soft, maybe you are soft. He's a player. It's not like he's some bum who's never played the game before, right? He's not the Miami coach, right? That's never played whatsoever. He knows what it takes to win, and he's calling you soft. You're soft.
And I guess it's working. It is working. So next week, we'll do episode 108. We'll talk about week 12. We'll talk about week 11. Enjoy your Sundays. And with that said, I say peace.
Peace. All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's SYMSPORTSMEDIA@gmail.com. Peace.